Welcome back to an all-new Whole Creations. I'm your host, Ryan Oddman. Today I'm going to be interviewing my friend Emma all the way in Fontana, California. She has an amazing story to share to the whole world regarding her Whole Creation story. So let's go hear Miss Emma. Hello, everybody. My name is Ryan Oddman, and this is my friend Emma.
Hi, guys. I'm Emma Howell. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Miss Emma. So, guys, I met Emma on a missions trip to Mexico, Baja California, at the year 2022. And my gosh, it's been a year and a half already. That's crazy. My favorite memory of you, Emma, was when I was really scared of bullfrogs. Oh, yep. Fact to be known. I've been afraid of frogs. But Emma, she had such a gentle gift of helping me to actually hold a frog. And holding that frog, I wouldn't have held that frog if it weren't for you, Emma, just so you know, helping me to overcome my fears of holding a frog. So
yes.
Praise God.
It was pretty cool.
Praise God for you, dude. I'm so thankful for you. So remember that. But all right. So today I want to dive deep into Emma's story. But before we do that, Emma, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I would love to. Well, I'm 24. I've been at Water of Life. That's how at the church we go to. I've been going for like since 2017, but I kind of fell off of it, but recently got back into it, and I'm just full force love the Lord now. So yeah. I'm a middle child. I have three siblings, two older and one younger. And thankfully I still have both my parents here, but they are divorced. So that was a whole mission in my walk, but we're getting through it. My older brother, like, he's a big role model in my life. He left in the Navy in like 2016. And after he left, it kind of like, I had to grow up in a sense. Like, he was always the one like protecting me, guiding me, and like, just like always speaking for me too. That's in my story too. Like, I was always a very shy person, and like other people usually spoke for me, usually my siblings or my teachers even sometimes, but I'm growing out of it. I'm healing from it. But as soon as he left, it was kind of like an eye opener of like the world and stuff. Cause I was very protected growing up, but I'll get into that a little bit deeper later. But, I love sports. I love tennis. I love soccer. My friends would probably say like I'm more of an injury prone person now. Like, my clumsiness comes out, but I just love being competitive and like just being active in it. So yeah, I love sports, like playing in it and watching them. It's pretty cool. I love to bake. I recently like fell out of it, but I'm trying to get back into it. And I'm like, it's a little crazy because, I'm the type of person where, like, if I bake, someone has to try it before I let someone else. Like, if I'm making it for someone, they have to try it before I give it out. It's a little weird, but it's okay. A few little things. I love Disneyland. I have a pass. I love aquariums and the beach. So,
okay, yeah. Okay.
It's a little bit about me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, what's your favorite beach?
My go-to is just Huntington, but recently I've been just going to whatever one, the closest one, whatever I can do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And what would be your favorite dish to bake for anybody that may be interested?
I call them my diabetes cupcakes. So it's brownies. It's cookie dough with like Oreos in the middle of the cookie dough, and I put brownie on top of it. I haven't made those in a while, but my go-to is probably the sugar cookies. I tend to like make more stress on myself. Like, I bake to get the stress away, and then I just put more stress on me. But it makes like the distractions go away for a little bit. But I love baking.
That's
especially for like my kids or like anyone that I love. So,
well, hey, yeah. One day we got to have a bake off because I actually bake butterscotch brownies.
Oh, what? Yeah, I need to try them. All right. Next YA.
All right. for those of you that don't know, YA is just like another, it's young adults at our church, Water of Life in Fontana, California. Yeah, because you never know. You never know who's watching. Like, people around the world, they were like, what is YA?
Yeah.
But okay, so
wow,
here comes the meat of why we're
who
here.
Who am I?
Yes, yeah. Tell us about your testimony.
Yeah,
story.
It's kind of like my first time like speaking it out loud, I guess. Like, people know like some parts of it, but or like all of it, just never put it together. So even for me, it was like, oh wow, I gotta do a testimony. Like I have one, like walking into my faith, I'm like, I have a testimony. Like, what is that? And it was like, it's just you, like who's your story, what we've been through, what you've done. And I was like, okay. Growing up, I was very protective, like I said earlier, and very shy and very, like, I guess introvert, is that the right word? And then lately, I've been more extrovert, like I'm just like speaking and I love it. But towards some people, like maybe adults, I'm like really, really shy. But come 2017, no, not 2017, 20, I'm getting to the root of like my parents got a divorce in 2018, 2019. And after that, it just kind of like, I need to find the Lord. I need to go deeper. I need to find what my purpose is in life, kind of. But I always tell my friends this. I'm like, until I started following the Lord, I didn't have like, I don't want to say issues or like I didn't deal with it, but I always pushed it under the rug. And then I feel like the Lord is just like unraveling it and undoing it. And it's like, thanks, Lord. Like I'm going through it, but it's to heal, it's to move forward, and it's for my purpose. And like I appreciate every like moment that I'm going through, but I guess that's where it kind of started, where I started walking with my faith when my parents got divorced. And yeah, I guess I'll go like a little bit back story. I grew up in some special needs classes. I was always like one step behind in school. Like I don't know if some people know what Read 180 is, but it's a reading program, or it's like something they track you, like for kids. It was in elementary school, and like you take these tests, and it was like this big like individual room that had like a whole like system of like computers, and you just read and read. And like if you were behind, then like they put you in Read 180. It's like an extra program, extra class that you have to take. And I always, at the moment, I was like, oh, my friends are doing it, like yeah, I gotta do it. And it didn't really bother me. I don't think it still bothers me, but like you do get special treatment. Like people treat you differently in a sense of like the teachers or the teacher aides or the counselors, you get special treatment. And I always was like, oh, that's just natural, that's just normal, like thing that you go through, like as a student or as you're just growing up, this is normal. But it wasn't, you know, it's you're different. And until you realize that, it's a little hard. And especially me being protected by my older siblings, it's like it was a lot just to grow up in. But I had like a whole like a file like follow me from elementary school, from Read 180 to IEP meetings. I don't know if you know what an IEP meeting is, but I have one of them. And it's like I had constantly meetings in middle school and high school, like monthly ones. But I would go in to this little program, take tests, like math, English was mostly my two. And they always saw like, oh, Emma, like you're always behind, or not always behind, but like Emma, you're a little bit behind. Like it's okay, like we're gonna have you take these extra classes, or we're gonna pull you out of these classes. And I can look back right now, and I feel like my school district or like other schools I was at, they did a really good job at teaching me, but also didn't, because I'm like they technically were doing the work for me majority of the time, and I was like I'm not really learning anything. And I didn't click till now, like after like graduation, after like college, and I'm like, did I even learn anything in school? Like what's going on? But it was a lot. It was a lot. Just in that sense of feeling different and from other students, kind of. Like with the IEP meetings, we would get pulled out. I would have a teacher aide, and I thought that was a little weird. Like my freshman year of high school, I had teacher aide like with all my classes, and I'm like, why is just like, never really questioned it until like I didn't see anyone else have a teacher aide, and I'm like, she would just ask me like, hey, like you need help, or if we have tests or exam or essays, like I had longer time to take them, or I had to go into a different room to take it. And I was like, okay, then people can point you out, like they're taking me out of the class to go take it. And just like as a kid, it's like I didn't really register until like I was older, but I was like, oh, I got special treatment, and I wonder like how I felt or anything like that. But that's why I surround myself with sports. I love sports. So like instead of like school focusing, I went into full like sports. I played soccer, I played tennis, and like I use that as my distraction of like not getting like not in a sense of bullied or anything, but like as my friend group and everyone like supported me along the way. Like I had a great support system, but you just always felt different. Like it's like, oh, you don't get that special treatment, I do. It's just, or like they would get jealous, and I don't know. But it was a whole mess. But I could sit here right now and just say like, it's a work in progress. We're healing, and I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for those classes or an understanding of everything. But yeah, that was my school and how I'm just very shy, so just or awkward, I should say. Like, just growing up, everyone spoke for me. Everyone did it for me. I didn't do it alone. And just growing out of that, and like now, it's like, oh, no one's gonna do it for me. I gotta do it myself. But it's a work in progress.
No,
Yeah.
can I say a quick thing?
Oh
Like,
yeah.
thank you for sharing your story, because I believe it's so important, Emma, like people that are known to have special needs or disabilities, whatever, it's important to encourage them and to uplift them to speak up for themselves instead of us like babying them
Yeah.
through. That's such a big deal to me. Like the young adults I work with, and you've seen me like mentor some of them, like I always tell them, hey, go and ask this person this, or hey, go do
Yeah.
this or that. Instead of me being like, all right, let me just speak for you. And it's like you gotta empower people to do
Yeah.
it, or else you're kind of setting them up for failure when they're all like they're out there in the real world, because nobody's gonna give them that same grace that the school may give
We
them.
got it. Yeah. And that's what also was hard, because like you just said it, like the school protected you so much that like when you went out into the world, it was like no one's out there doing it for you. Like you're all alone. You need to do it yourself. And no one taught, I don't think my school taught me to do that, especially like since my role model went to the Navy. It was like I was alone. I got to see how the world truly was, and like how scary and how evil it could be, until like I found the Lord, and I'm like, yeah, Lord, I'm not alone. I'm never alone. And yeah, it's a whole progress, but I'm still in it. I'm still growing, and I try, like I tend to stutter, or I'll tend to like I don't like talking or reading in front of people, like because I'm ashamed, not ashamed, but like always thinking before, like, oh, what are they gonna think of me? I'm gonna stutter. Like they speak so clearly, and it's just like I'll get in my head, I'll turn red, and I'm like, I can't do it. So I self-doubt myself a lot. But the Lord is working in
No, the Lord is working in it, because here's the
me.
thing. Dude, like when I see you, friend, I just want you to know, like, I would have never thought like you had any special needs or disabilities, or what we call it is whole creations here. Like, you're
Yeah. Oh
created
my
for
gosh, that looks crazy. Sorry.
all good, all good. You're created for wholeness. And the thing is, like, I would have never known like you ever had that. And so you're living out your whole creation purpose, my friend, just so you know, because like whenever I see you, I see your bubbly personality and just who you are and just the friends that you have and how popular you are. And just you, when that one time where you hosted at YA, and it's just
Oh, that's crazy. I
like dude, like
still turned red.
you're and you have such a unique gift, friend, to make friends. I don't know if you know that, but you have a unique gift to make friends. Like whenever I see you, you're never alone. Like you are always with people, and it's a great thing. And so I just want to encourage you, friend, like you're living out your calling well, because I would have never known like you had you ever lived in
Yeah.
that state of mind.
Thank
Yeah.
That's
So just remember that. Remember that. And
awesome.
I love what your background says over
Yes.
in the classroom.
Yes.
I don't know if you did that intentionally,
No,
but
it was there, and I was like, this is my room. Yes, I'm choosing this one. Yeah. I
So
was a little
every
nervous, but yeah.
but yeah, like I'm really thankful for you, friend. I just want you to know that. Like
Thank
I'm
you.
really, really thankful, and I can't wait to see what God's gonna do in your life.
Oh
So
yeah, he's moving, he's working, and well, like we just came out of fasting and prayer, and I didn't know the power of fasting and prayer, and it's crazy. Like I slowly went into it, and like I think last year was like, oh, everyone else doing, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna give it a try, and wasn't fully putting myself into it. But this year I was like, I'm going all in, like I'm doing the extreme, and I don't think I've ever heard Jesus or like God talk to me so much, or like just get peace and healing from it. And I was just like, wow, it was a beautiful thing, and it's like the power of fasting and praying is ridiculous, and it's amazing. Yeah.
And the cool thing is, like, some people are like, what, you're fasting
Yeah.
for more than a day, more than
Yeah.
what? And
Yeah.
but when you have such a unique love for Jesus, it's like you really will give up any and everything. And that sounds scary to
Anything.
people. That sounds really scary to people. But the love of Jesus just gives us that desire to want to give up everything, even the necessities for a few days, just to hear from him, just to be with him, just to have that relationship with him. And okay, this just came to my mind right now. Stop me if I'm talking too much, but dude, like you and me, we were known to be people that have special needs in our past. Come on, come on. And we get to be that example of people that are whole creations that are spending time with God, that have a relationship with God. And so people may think that people that with disabilities may not have the capability to have a relationship with God, but you and I are living proof that we do have a
You can
relationship
have
with God,
one.
friend.
Everyone, anyone can get it. Yeah.
Even a dog.
Amen. Amen. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
From then to now, it's just like a whole. We got it good.
Yeah. And I see the transformation in you, friend. I just want you to know that,
Thank you.
like I'm getting emotional just thinking about it, but
Thank
I can feel God's heart that he's doing a mighty work in you, which in the uncomfortability is where the most healing is. So when you're spending time with Jesus alone and he may bring up some things that are uncomfortable to talk about, it's not him shaming, it's him healing. So just to encourage anybody and everybody out there that is a follower of Jesus Christ or may want to become a follower of Jesus Christ, whenever there's a thought that comes to your mind and you're spending time with God that may seem uncomfortable or that may seem like, ooh, I don't want to go back to that memory, or ooh, like God, let's close the door on this. This is
Yeah,
uncomfortable.
push it on the rug.
Yeah, but that's where God wants to do his best work. And so I always tell people, like, don't be consumed by the sadness of that memory, but allow God to show you his love and his mercy through that situation that you went through in your past. So,
Okay. Yeah. That's really good.
is there.
That's just a little part of the testimony, but that's the beginning. That's where I start, and that's how everything is.
Well, I want to hear more, dude. I mean, if
Oh
you feel
yes.
comfortable.
Nah. Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Hey, all you listeners and watchers out there. Do you or someone that you know have a whole creation story? Meaning, they have a story of someone who is known to have a disability. However, they have shown themselves to be able. Whether you are a Jesus Christ believer or not, I would love to know your story of being a whole creation. Or maybe you are a parent, an educator, a care provider, a sibling of someone with special needs, or somehow you're just affiliated with them. I would love to know your story or how you are affiliated with that person. Please reach out to me. My email is ryunoddman@gmail.com. That is ryanoddman@gmail.com. Looking forward to hearing from you. Let's go back to our episode with Emma.
Like I said, I was always protected. So when I went out, when I turned 18, when I graduated and just saw my family kind of tear apart, break apart, it's like, who's going to be the next person to take care of my mom? Who's going to be the next person to take care of my dad? And the moment, like, I felt all these emotions, all these angers, all these emotions I've never really dealt with. Like you said earlier, like you just tend to run away or push it under the rug. I'm the type of person to run away, and I'm like, no, I don't want to deal with them. But more recently, it's like, no, we're going to dig in, we're going to go in, and we're going to go deep. And I'm like, okay. So that's what, it's a whole progress, and like,
Amen.
we can't do it. But I think as soon as my brother left, my older sister Tamara, she lived with us for a few minutes or like a couple of years, and then she moved out and started her own life. So I'm the third child, and I just took that role of like, hey, I gotta take care of my little sister. Like, no one told me to do it. I just did it, and we always bump heads now. And it's like, you're not my mom. Like, don't treat me as like your daughter or like you. We used to always bump heads like that. And I'm like, only if you knew. Like I wanted someone who protected me, like my older siblings, to protect her. And she's 21, so I'm like, she can handle herself, but like, I don't want her to go through things that I've gone through and or those pains and stuff. So I just want to always protect her. But she's old enough to like handle herself, so I need to start focusing on myself and seeing what the Lord's gonna do with me and just heal from the past. And I say that because growing up, I always had my parents. Like, we always were outside doing who knows what. We were always off-roading, we always dirt bike riding, we always camping, fishing, like you name it. Like, we had no technology until I was like an 8th grade freshman year. Like, didn't have a phone.
Wow.
Like, so like didn't know how to use technology. I still don't know how to use technology. I don't like technology. Like, it's like, but anyway, I was always, but if you got me like a tent or something, I got to, or like sports, I got to, but technology ain't, is not for me. But and when the parents, my parents got divorced, it was like you saw how much, no family is perfect, but you saw how my family was glued from my brother, or just was falling apart from behind the scenes, and like you don't recognize it because you're like, oh, look, like your family's like together, you know, like we're happy, we're doing this together, or we're going on this trip. But looking back, you're like, I only saw my dad during my sister's sports, like her soccer games, her practices. He was like usually assistant coach and stuff, but he was never really in the picture. My mom works nights and my dad works days. And as we were in school, he would pick us up or we would walk home. And then, like, you just always saw him on the couch. And at the time, I was always protected. Didn't know that he was drinking. Didn't know that he was smoking. Like, didn't know. Like, you always smelt it, or like it was around him, or he was always just passed out on the couch or something. But like, my older sibling was always protected. And like, oh, let's go to the mall. Let's go to the park. Like, or let's go kick the ball around, you know? And so I was 18, graduated, and they got divorced. And it was just like big eye opener. It's like, nice. Like, my dad was never really in the picture. And I remember this one huge argument that they had. And I'm the type of person, like, if someone says it, not saying that I'll technically like believe it, but I'll feel it 10 times more deeper, like deeper than what they say it as. And I just remember my little sister saying, like, if you, it was like a really intense like argument with my parents. And my sister, little sister, she was like, if you like touch her again, or if you lay your hands on her, like, you're never going to see me again. And that just hardened my heart like so much, like hearing it from my little sister. And I was like thinking, and I was like, my dad does not know who I am. Like, he doesn't know what my favorite color is. And it got so intense that my little sister like called the cops, of course. And since she was underage, it made my dad go to jail. And I think it was like a memorial weekend or something, so he had to stay there like longer than he needed to. But it was there, and that was the time my mom was like, oh, we're leaving this life, we're not dealing with this anymore. And of course, I'm an adult, Haley's underage, and I was like, what? So we packed up our bags and like we left. And as my dad was in jail, we were back and forth, and we were just packing up the house and leaving. So I can only imagine how my dad felt when he came home, like we weren't there. And it just kind of like, I hardened my heart, I guess, toward my dad. Or like, it's like, why would you put our family through that? Like, looking back now, it's like the man of the house is supposed to take care of you, and he wasn't the one to do it. So it was a little hard, like growing up in that sense, but or even having like a father figure, because looking back, it's like he was never there. But right now, I know the Lord's working in me, and then. And I'm trying to forgive. Like, I can say it over and over that I forgive him, but there's always that hard tension in my heart that like still need healing from it, I still need to work in it. But that's okay. So my dad's relationship is a little rough, but I'm just praying that he would find Jesus. I got him a Bible for Christmas and just been praying for him that he would find Christ, and that's all I want for him to know who his godly father is, and that I'm a daughter of his highest king. So there's going to be change, and it's going to be okay. But that's just one step of like how I tend to harden my heart towards guys mostly. And I think it's because my brother left, and I think it's because my dad wasn't a role model. And flashback, in 2017, 2018, 2019, I worked at a winter camp, like a whole season camp, and it was, I loved it. I love working with kids, like just seeing them grow and seeing them be so pure and just like have a smile on their face. Or the smallest things, like, oh, it's a ladybug, and they're like this smile, like it's beautiful to see. Like, kids are just so beautiful, and it just makes you a kid at heart no matter what. And I just love kids. And so I worked at a camp, and I just fell in love with it. I deeply fell in love with it. And like from horseback riding to zip lining to teaching them how to make friendship bracelets, it was just like brought back the kid days, I guess. And I was like, I fell deeply in love with it. And I had a group of friends that like I would run to or like go to a lot because like you're up there all the time. So it's like I work there every weekend and then all summer. So I would leave home, go up there, work there, and not come home for 2 months or 2 months and a half. And like you just fell in love with it. Like the work, the kids, like your coworkers. And like I was like, I got paid for it, but like I was like, I can volunteer and be like, okay, like it's okay. And I think just being 18, 19 and being like so freshly new to like the world, because I said earlier that I was protected. And I was like, oh, like nothing can happen at a camp. Like it's for kids. It's like it's cute, it's fun. And I got really, really close with two of my guy best friends. And like I think I fell short of a lot of things when I was up there, like not as protected as I would be at back at home. So I fell into, of course, I fell into drinking, I fell into smoking, and it's looking back, I was like, why would I do that? Like I was so like innocent. I was so cute. I was so innocent. And then like I fell into those things. Like I was like, they're doing it, I'm gonna do it. Like peer pressure and stuff. They never peer pressured or anything. But I remember one time at a Christmas event or a Christmas like party, I had a closest friend, two closest friends. They happened a year apart, but they took advantage. Like we had alcohol in our system, one took advantage, and I was sexually assaulted at 19. But I don't let that stop me or like anything. Like I said earlier, it just hardened my heart towards guys. It's like I can't trust no one. Like they always leave, or like guys are just trash. So I was always just like, guys are trash, guys are trash. I tell everybody, literally, like I don't like it. Guys are just like terrible. And then to think back on it, like I was like, I'm never going back up to that camp. Like they broke who I am, I think, inside, like not knowing what was going on and everything. And I went back again because I was like, I love the kids, I'm going back. And it happened another time. And then you don't think like your guy best friends would do that. And it happened twice. So I was like, two different guys, but it's okay. And I think from this fast and prayer, like that's where I got healing from, because I thought I was like, I forgave them and I'm okay. And it wasn't until like this person in the healing rooms, they were like, I felt like a shift. Like I felt a shift happen. And like you have unforgiveness in your heart, and then she's like, something in your past, and like you need to forgive. And she's like, it's not one person, it's two persons. And right away, I knew what it was. And like when I like repeated the prayer that she said, I never felt so much peace in my heart, or like let me begin. And healing progress. And I remember a friend, one of our closest friends. I don't know if you know Alex Dabrowski. We were playing soccer one night, and he was like, I was just like, oh, very vulnerable and open with him. And I was just telling him like how I felt to my dad and like what happened in the past. And he goes, have you ever like thought of it differently? Like he didn't say like it to shift the perspective or anything like that. He was just like, but do you think you hardened your heart towards your dad and like those two guys that happened to you? But do you look at it as like to God, like your earthly father messed up, your friends messed up, but are you mad at God? And I was like, no, like why would I be mad at God? Like, what do you mean? But it just made me think, and I was like, no, God is good. Like, I don't know. It was a different way to look at it. And then of course I took school ministry, and then I found out like, hey, like you're adopted by God. Like even though you had terrible earthly water, you're adopted by God. And I was like, that's so beautiful. And then it's bringing joy and bringing peace. And I'm like, yeah, people here could be evil. People here can manipulate you or do things to you, but it's never going to change the posture of your heart. It's never going to change you who God set you to be. And he allowed it, not saying that he allowed it, he didn't want that to happen, but he's just molding you into the person you are today. And I think it's a beautiful thing to see now and like be okay with like how everything happened. And I'm healing, and it's okay. So that was just a little snippet of that. But I don't let it stop me from who I am now. Like from the beginning, when I first started walking, I was like, I'm going to trust nobody. And now I have like amazing, like godly friends, the godly men, and they're just like treating me differently. And they're just show me how a person's supposed to really act, or a guy in your life is supposed to act, not like romantically or anything, just like friendshiply. And it's just like, it's beautiful. And it's like, this is what you always needed. And like, God supports you, and God brings those people that you need, and like, removes you from situations that you shouldn't have been in. And yeah, just God is good. And I love him about it.
He always redeems those situations that were
Oh, yeah.
meant for our brokenness, our broken identity, into a true identity in Christ. And so, and when you brought up your our good godly men, I just thought of Cameron. Wait, sorry, Carlos. I don't know why.
Carlos Diaz.
Cameron. What? Anyway, no, but I was thinking about like Carlos Diaz and Anthony Quintero. Those guys really are a godly example. And so,
Those two are the ones that are probably the most that helped with everything. So, yeah.
So shout out to them if they're watching or listening to this. So
Mogs, thanks, guys. Love you. They're
Mog.
probably
Yes.
definitely listening, but it's okay.
Is there any encouragement that you want to give to anybody out there that has gone through what you've gone through, whether it's with the special education in the past, or you or them having a hard time with men, girls having a hard time with men, or that have been assaulted?
Well, from the past, definitely don't do it alone. always, like I was saying earlier, find those group of people, or pray for those group of people that could just bring you out of the darkness and bring you into light, because you're definitely not alone. God is always working in you, like from the start, from when I graduated high school, from when I was born, like he knew I was in his womb, like he knew me before anything. And God is just really good. He loves you ridiculous. Like, he's crazy about you. And our pastor here always says, like, he's crazy about you. Like, and I'm like, you're right, he is. So don't let it stop you. Don't let it ever stop you from what he has planned for you. Whether you're a believer or not, it's, I'm not saying things happen, but you're never alone. And I'm forever thankful that God brought me just such amazing people, including you, Ryan. Like, it's amazing that God will do that for you, and he will do anything for you as long as you're here with him. And just know that you're never alone. Remove yourself from those scary situations, or scary things that are holding you back even. Just find those godly people, find that community. And I think as a whole, like, if I wasn't at this church, I don't think I would be where I'm at right now, or have the connections that I have right now without the friends in this community. So really epic.
And I also want to encourage just anybody out there that, I don't know why, but this is coming to my mind. Anybody out there that has had a hard time with the church and they may not want to go to church, or I just want to encourage you that we've all come from a broken identity background, and the church isn't a place of perfect people. It's a place of where there's healing and restoration. So we it's better to be safe with a group of godly people that are learning the process rather than non-believers that don't want anything to do with the process of healing. So that just came to my mind out of nowhere. So,
If you
but
want change, you're gonna need to put the works in,
Yeah.
You definitely can't keep on repeating the same things, or you unless you want change. Like, you need to change. If you
Yeah.
want to change, you do the change. Like,
Yeah.
be the one to do it. Don't hold yourself back.
Amen. Amen. And Jesus brings the change as we hang out
Yes,
with
he
him
does.
through the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on.
Amen.
Woo.
I love it.
Well, do you want to pr would you like to pray us out before we go?
I love to praise
Right.
that. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for this great opportunity that I get to go over the Zoom call with your son, God, that the remarkable Ryan that he is, Lord, that the movement that he has over wherever he may be posting this at, Lord. So I thank you for Ryan and who he is and who you call him to be, Lord. So may you just continue to bless him and continue to use him for your glory, Lord. And for anyone that is out there that is struggling for change, or struggling or feeling left out, or feeling insecure, or just like feeling different from being a whole creation or special needs, Lord, I just pray that you would uplift them, Lord, and they would feel your presence, Lord, and that anyone that has a past of parents being divorced, or losing a loved one, or even going through something as a sexual assault, Lord, I just pray that you won't leave them, or you won't forsake them, Lord, that you would be with them, Lord, and just pour into their heart, Lord. Surround them with people who love you like crazy, Lord. And I thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and I just continue to pray that you would bless me and Ryan, and be with us at all times, Lord. So I thank you, and I uplift everyone in Jesus' name.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. That was on point. And dude, I just want you to know, like, God's got something strategically planned for you this year.
Thank you.
2024 is going to be
Yeah.
a powerful year for you, friend. Just know that. So, okay. Well, love you too, homie.
Yes.
Well, everybody, we wish
We
you a
are
happy day
out.
or a happy night, wherever you are. And yeah. And if you want to reach out to Miss Emma, I'm going to put
Yeah, I
her
was
Instagram right here.
gonna say it. Feel
And
free.
yeah, reach out to
Any
her
questions
Instagram
or
or her email address. I'll put it right there as
yeah.
well.
Sounds great.
Just thank you, Emma, for your obedience because you're really making a way for women out there right now. So
Yeah. No, God's always working. Whether you see
always,
it or not, he's always working.
always, always.